You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
This is KSL's Religion Today, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner, on KSL News Radio.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. Today, we take a look at the translation process of the Book of Mormon. There are some things we know about this process. Much we do not know, and I'll try to explore and share the limits of what we know about the process from firsthand sources today. I'll also try to point out the parts that are certainly conjecture and probably not very trustworthy. What we know about the translation process of the Book of Mormon might begin with a very famous letter that Joseph Smith wrote in response to a request by newspaper editor John Wentworth, who had requested a description of the outline and progress of the faith that Joseph Smith had founded under the direction of God. In this letter, Joseph Smith laid out certain tenets of the church. These became the 13 articles of faith. Other parts of the letter are less well known. One of those is the part in which he described the translation of the Book of Mormon as proceeding, quote, through the medium of the Urim and Thummim by the gift and power of God, close quote. That's all he said. On other occasions, when Joseph Smith made mention of the translation, he used very similar language. There was a guy who self-described himself in Nauvoo as Joshua, the Jewish minister. And Joseph Smith described to him how he translated the Book of Mormon, quote, by the gift and power of God, close quote. Now, there are a few other times, like in the Wentworth letter, which happened later, and also in a few other places where Joseph Smith talked about a Urim and Thummim and spectacles and a seer stone. But he doesn't exactly describe the translation process in any more detail than by the gift and power of God. Some of this is probably not a desire to keep things hidden rather than an inability to personally relay it. For example, if you have experienced something, it might be easy for you to relay that information. If you have experienced something that is unique to you, how do you describe it? If you know somebody who is blind, it might be possible to, on a superficial level, describe a movie or a photograph or some setting or object that you have seen. But you can only give a vague outline, kind of like the gift and power of God is a vague outline of what Joseph Smith must have done. Similarly, if you read a book, you know what you read, but how do you tell somebody exactly how you read something? How do you describe to them how you perceived words and how you turned the words into thoughts? Studies have shown that we don't actually think in words. We think in thoughts and then turn them into our known native language. This becomes readily apparent whenever you try to grasp for a word but can't quite come up with it, but you know the thought behind it. This may be something like what Joseph Smith was trying to give to us. There are no real words or thoughts other than translate, and there are probably no other serious ideas behind it other than by the gift and power of God. We do know a few other details about this, but before we go there, let me share one other experience. In October conference of 1831, Hiram stood up at conference, knew that the saints were interested in hearing more about the translation process. And he invited his brother Joseph to stand up and tell the congregation in conference what the Book of Mormon translation process was. Joseph Smith stood up and said, quote, "It was not intended to tell the world all the particulars of the coming forth of the Book of Mormon, and it was not expedient for him to relate these things," close quote. There's another example of how he did not give any more explicit details. One of the fascinating descriptions that we have about the Book of Mormon, although it is late, is one from David Whitmer, where it says that initially when he got the Nephite interpreters, which is what the Urim and Thummim were initially called by Joseph Smith and early members of the church, that he thought a lot more of those and was more fascinated about those than he was by the golden plates themselves. Why? Because the plates look neat and they were of ancient origin, but he couldn't personally read them. But, said Joseph to David Whitmer, when I look into the Urim and Thummim, when I look into the spectacles, I can see anything. That was the gist of what he said. And that, to me, is a fascinating, fascinating description. He could see anything in the Urim and Thummim or spectacles. Now, what that may mean is that Joseph Smith saw, literally, in the Urim and Thummim and later in the Seer Stone, much like we see in a movie, but with additional information flowing into his mind, exactly the things that he described as he translated the Book of Mormon. There are implications to that, which are that the same passages of the Book of Mormon, if they were seen a second time, might be rendered in slightly different languages or in slightly different words. In other words, the Book of Mormon translation process was not just something as is described by Martin Harris and Oliver Cowdery and later by David Whitmer as something that was a word-for-word thing. They liked it to be a word-for-word thing because that showed that God had more control. But I believe that the translation process was more something that Joseph Smith saw and that the meaning was given to him by revelation at the very same time. That would be the height of understanding something if you saw it and discerned it by the revelation of God at the same time. There are, of course, descriptions about what the seer stones, excuse me, not the seer stone, but the Urim and Thummim, the Nephite spectacles, look like. And they were two stones. Some descriptions say they were clear. Others say they were white in what looked like two bows, which were twisted together in the center. In other words, looked like a very large metal frames set of glasses. They were very large. The two stones were placed in a pocket, and then there was a large rod that held it onto the waistband, and you could pull it out of the pocket, and it would sit approximately in front of your eyes. The waist part that I'm talking about was part of the breastplate, and there was a pocket in the breastplate that the Urim and Thummim was placed into. And as it came out, if Joseph Smith or some other person wore the breastplate, then the Urim and Thummim would be before their eyes. It's also interesting that, according to most accounts, what happened with the translation process is that Joseph Smith translated through the lost 116 pages location and then a little bit beyond. When Martin Harris asked for the manuscript, he was given approximately 116 pages. These would have been enormous pages that were about twice the size of a typical 8.5 by 11 paper that we have. We'll be right back after this break. Stay tuned. This is Religion Today.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Did you know you can get the three things you need to know delivered right to you? Just go to KSLNewsRadio.com, click on menu, and then newsletter.
Or go to the KSL News Radio app, and you click on menu, and then it's email alerts.
This is even easier. Just text the word inbox to 57500.
Get the top national and local stories with the three things you need to know newsletter.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season two of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Religion Today with host Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio.
We're back. This is our second hour talking about the translation of the Book of Mormon, how it was accomplished, what we know about that process, and what we don't. If you have a question or comment about this program, feel free to send me an email. Send it to martinstanner@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to respond. I just mentioned before we took our break that Martin Harris and others related the idea that Martin Harris asked for the 116 pages, which was a manuscript, but it was probably slightly more than that had been translated. And that when those were lost, what happened was that Joseph Smith and his new scribe, Oliver Cowdery, continued on and translated the rest of the Book of Mormon clear to the end of Moroni. And then started at the beginning, replacing the lost part, which was the Book of Lehi, with all of the pages and books that we have right up to or close to the Book of Mosiah. How do we know that? Because the Book of Mosiah is the place in the Book of Mormon that has a heading changed. And it used to be caption chapter 3. So that was probably the beginning of chapter 3 of the Book of Lehi, but after the retranslation, it became a new book that was called Mosiah. In other words, the title was changed to Mosiah instead of chapter 3. The fascinating part about the translation process is that that means, according to what Emma said, well, let's listen to what Emma said. This is a late interview, but in 1870, she said, "Now, the first that my husband translated was translated by the Urim and Thummim, and that was the part that Martin Harris lost. After that, he used a small stone, not exactly black, but it was rather a dark color," close quote. And that's the seer stone that the First Presidency has now released, you can see photos of that anywhere on the internet. So what that means is that all of the Book of Mormon that we have was likely translated by that seer stone, because the Urim and Thummim portion, the 116 pages portion, was lost. And if Emma is right and remembers correctly, all the rest of it, meaning what we have, was translated strictly by the seer stone. William McClellan, who was for a time a close associate of Joseph Smith, made a similar statement. He said, quote, "The entire Book of Mormon was translated by means of a small stone. I have certificates to that effect from Oliver Cowdery's widow, Martin Harris, and Emma Biderman," close quote. So what do we know about the translation process itself? One of the things that is often overlooked in connection with the translation process is that it took effort. We know that because we see that in the Doctrine and Covenants. Oliver Cowdery wanted to translate. He assumed that this would just be an easy thing. He assumed that all he had to do was just be told that he could translate and it would automatically happen. But it didn't work that way. In Doctrine and Covenants, section 9, verses 7 and 8, we read this, quote, "Behold, you have not understood. You have supposed that I would give it unto you when you took no thought, save it was to ask me. But behold, I say unto you, you must study it out in your mind. Then you must ask if it be right, and if it is right, I will cause that your bosom shall burn within you. Therefore you shall feel that it is right," close quote. Oliver must have presumed that this was some kind of automatic translation process. These verses suggest that the process was not automatic, not character by character, not sentence by sentence, but required effort, extreme effort, guided by revelation, but extreme effort on the part of the translator to search for and find the most appropriate expression in English for what was clearly, concisely, and precisely placed in the mind of the translator by God. Something Joseph Smith probably could not have been able to describe well to Oliver any more than he could have easily described it to any of us. And hence he said, "How was done by the gift and power of God." Another thing that points to the direction that this was not automatic translation is that Joseph Smith made a number of changes in the next edition of the Book of Mormon, and also in the original manuscript and in the printer's manuscript before it was published. Now, before people start to pull their hair out and say, wait a minute, what changes? These were quite minor. These were punctuation. There are only a few things of any significance at all. As a matter of fact, the very most significant one is early on in the Book of Mormon, where there was a change that talks about Mary was the mother of God, and it was changed to Mary was the mother of the Son of God. Now, to me, that makes no change in meaning, but it's a nice clarification. That's about the most significant change that was ever made. Nevertheless, the point is that if Joseph Smith thought what he got was an absolute sacrosanct statement, word by word, from God's lips, from God's mouth, he would not have felt at liberty to make any changes to those. That is a fascinating thing to contemplate. So there's a contemporary of Joseph Smith, who provides an indication that the process of translation was not some kind of just a dictation. The Reverend Dietrich Willers, who was a minister of German Reformed Church congregations in Berrytown and Fayette, New York, at the time of the church's restoration, and a celebrated opponent of the restored Church of Jesus Christ, wrote in 1830 to two colleagues in New York about the church. And in his letter, he included the following concerning the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. Quote, "The angel indicated that under these plates were hidden spectacles without which he could not translate these plates. And by using these spectacles, he, Smith, would be in a position to read these ancient languages, which he had never studied, and that the Holy Ghost would reveal to him the translation in English," close quote. The English translation, with all of its awkwardness in certain places and differentiation from the way we typically would read and write today, was, according to contemporary reports, a product of spiritual impressions to Joseph Smith and his visions, rather than some kind of an automatic appearance. This would make Joseph Smith, despite some of the unusual grammar and things in the Book of Mormon, a real translator rather than just a transcriber. He was a translator, not just someone who was a scribe for God. That's an important point to contemplate, because Joseph Smith could have described himself as a scribe to God rather than a translator, but he described himself as a translator. Another fascinating point is that Joseph Smith translated at about 10 pages a day on these pages that were twice as big as an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper today. Without divine aid, no one could do that. The entire Book of Mormon translation process, in essential final form, was done in less than 45 days. And this is the part that we have, not the part that was lost. So much more was translated as well. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.